A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously every day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off with Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded should someone rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings once again take us to the real heart of Lent. The heart of Lent is a choice. It's a choice based on a recognition of really what the foundation of our life is, what the direction of our life is, what the goal of our life is, what the source of our life is. It's a huge contrast in the first reading and in the psalm. Cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. It's compared to a barren bush in the desert, a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. And in contrast to that, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. The analogy for him, the metaphor is, he's like a tree planted beside the water that stretches out its roots to the stream, that even when the heat comes, it doesn't fear. Its leaves stay green even in the midst of drought, when it still bears fruit. Are we that lava waste, or are we that tree planted beside the living water who is Christ? The first psalm, which is our responsorial psalm today, continues on that same contrast. Blessed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, who's not living by earthly wisdom, who doesn't walk in the way of sinners just because everybody's doing it, but rather delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. He again is this tree planted near running water. The wicked are not this way. They're like the chaff that the wind easily blows away. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, concluded the entire homily by saying, "Are you going to build your house on the rock of my words, that even when the winds come and the storms blow and buffet against the house, you'll be solid? Or are you going to be like someone who builds his house on sand by hearing these words of mine and not acting on them?" This is the big choice of our life. And the readings today get us to focus a little bit about whether we're really doing it. If we are building our life like that stream besides living water, what's the condition? It says that we hope in the Lord always, but also that we meditate on His word day and night. If we're really trusting in the Lord, then when we have some free time, we're zealously going to try to guard that free time to immerse ourselves in God. It's not like, great, I got a free night tonight, I'll watch the Celtics get destroyed by the Philadelphia 76ers. Or I'll be able to watch my favorite sitcoms. There's nothing necessarily bad with all of that. But are we spending our free time the way everybody else does in our culture, buffeting up Nielsen ratings? Or are we really trying to insert our life totally in the Lord? The greatest contrast of all comes in the gospel. This rich man is sent to hell basically because of sins of omission. But underneath those sins of omission is a lifestyle. It's a choice. And we have to confront this, especially in American culture, because we're all loaded, including those on welfare, compared to the rest of the world. What was going on in this rich man's life? It tells us a few things. He was dressed in purple garments and fine linen. That's just an expression for us. We might say, okay, he had some nice clothes. It means far more than that. Purple garments were worn only by royalty, and linen was very rare. You take an ordinary day's wage, okay, somebody who hard works, and multiply it by 750 or 1,000, and then you get what it cost for one purple garment or one linen. It would be 3 to 4 years of work just to have one day's clothes. And he always dressed in purple and fine linen. Let's go on. He feasted sumptuously each day. That expression in St. Luke's Greek meant that he was eating exotically every single day. Two things there. First, there was a starving man at his gate. But beyond that, what the heck was going on the Sabbath? The only way he was able to eat exotically every day of the week was if he was violating the Sabbath and having his servants work on the Sabbath to provide an exotic meal for him even that day. He was obviously not living dependent on God's providence. Even someone who was loaded can live dependent, rooted in God. And when someone who is rich does live poor in spirit, then he becomes incredibly sensitive to the poor because he recognizes everything he has is a gift and others may be in need of that gift. If he had been rooted in the Lord, then clearly he would have paid closer attention to Lazarus at his gate. That name Lazarus is the Hebrew Eleazar, translation of which, God is my help. He knew Lazarus' name. He was able to cite him when he was in torment later and asked for the finger to come dipped in cold water to give him momentary relief. But because he was basing his faith, hope, and love in all his material property rather than in the Lord, he was pretty much oblivious. Oblivious. At the end, we've got this dramatic request to Abraham. Send him to my father's house so that he can warn my brothers. And Abraham says, he's got Moses and the prophets. No. If someone goes to him from the dead, then they'll repent. And Abraham says something very important, and Jesus obviously punctuates it by citing it. No. If they're not listening to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen if a man should rise from the dead. Obviously, he's talking about his own resurrection. And if, again, we're not meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, if we're not living in the Lord in such a way that we know what Moses and the prophets have said, we know what the apostles have said, then Jesus' rising from the dead is just a simple fact. We put it right next to George Washington was the first president of the United States. It has no big impact. Doesn't really change our foundation, but just sprinkles a little water on it. Jesus has, in fact, come back from the dead. He has told us to hang on his word, to build our whole life on hearing his word and putting it into practice, to depend on him in the little and the big things in life. And when we do, then it changes the way we notice people all around us. Because when we're built in the Lord, then we start to make our concerns the Lord's concerns. He loves all those brothers and sisters who are at our gate, who will be lining up today to receive food at our food pantry yet again, yet another week. Today, as we come forward, the Lord wants us to root ourselves in him. But we have to make the choice for it. It doesn't happen against our will. It doesn't just say, okay, I'll do it a little. It means that we go all in. Blessed is the one who really roots himself in the living stream who is the Lord, who delights in the law of the Lord, meditates on his law day and night, builds himself or herself on the rock. This is the way that we become a sign to our brothers and sisters, because Christ, risen from the dead, then truly lives in us. And that's the greatest means by which they are meant to be brought to conversion before it's too late.